John chapter 10, verse 22 to 30. That's on page 896 of the church Bibles. And I'm going to read before Phil speaks for us today. And before that, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that today you would help us to calm our minds as we listen to your word in the middle of a work day. Pray, Lord, that you'd enlighten the eyes of our hearts to hear wonderful things about you. Amen. John 10, 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Jeff, thanks very much indeed. Can I add my welcome? My name is Phil, I'm the minister here. And if you haven't been with us in the last few weeks, we've been going through John chapter 10. So fairly slowly. The talks are on the website if you want to go back and listen. And it's been really lessons from the world of sheep farming. Spiritual lessons from the world of sheep and shepherds. And today, our subject this lunchtime is, and you might want to take a handout if that's helpful for you. Our subject this lunchtime is, in posh words, the sovereignty of God in salvation, predestination. In less posh words, how in charge of salvation is God? The answer is much more than we think. And much more, I think, than most Christians think. Perhaps uncomfortably so. Many find these words of Jesus highly controversial, though they are meant, in fact, as words of comfort from shepherds to sheep. The thing is, if we're honest, on the ground, it can look like God isn't in charge of salvation at all. True Christianity looks weak, doesn't it? Widely rejected, you will know that in your workplaces. Universities across this land, packed with academics, of whom most would dismiss the Bible as man-made. Even theology departments, packed with academics, who would dismiss the Bible as man-made. Is it credible to be a Christian today in a world full of dismissal of the Christian claims? It seems not. We can find ourselves thinking, if Jesus really is Lord, the Son of God, the Son from the Father, who came to bring life, why does he seem to have so little effect on so many? Have you thought about that? Have you wondered that? And I think it's especially noticeable when people have heard the gospel, the Christian message, again and again, perhaps. And yet, what is the response? Nothing. You will know people like that in your lives, probably, for whom that is the case. And the thing is, it was no different back then. So that's one surprise, our first surprise today, perhaps. If you look down, just look down again at this amazing scene in chapter 10, verse 22. It's the time of the Feast of Dedication. That's Hanukkah, which happens around about November, December, and still does among the Jewish community. It took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, I don't know what you think about that question. It seems like a reasonable question on the surface, doesn't it? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Here are the Jews, that they're gathered round him. They ask Jesus, "If you are the Messiah that we've been waiting for, please show us more clearly." The problem has to do in their mind with the clarity and the persuasiveness of Jesus' revelation of himself. But the thing is, this is most of the way into Jesus' ministry. In 4 months' time, it's 4 months before his death, in 4 months' time he's going to die. He's been with them for 2.5 years. He has not withheld his identity from them. Repeatedly, Jesus has referred to himself publicly as the Son of God. "My Father, my Father, my Father." Chapter 2, "My Father's house." Chapter 5, "The Son of God, the Son of Man." Chapter 8, by this stage, they've already picked up stones to stone him because they understood that he was claiming equality with God. Chapter 8, where he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they picked up stones to stone him. And they do it again at the end of this conversation. Verse 30, "I and the Father are one." And they picked up stones to stone him. Could he tell them more plainly? No. And so the problem is not to do with the clarity of Jesus' revelation. That is why, verse 25, Jesus says, "I have told you, and you do not believe. I've told you in words, I've told you in deeds." Verse 25, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness about me. The miracles that only God could do, I've done them right in front of your eyes." And so here we have the Jews, his own people. They've seen his public words. Sorry, they've had his public words. They've seen his miracles with their own eyes. And as it were, they've had a front row seat of the Son of God. And what do they say? Meh. Unconvinced. "If only you would give us more clarity, Jesus, then we might believe. Better evidence. That's what we want." You heard that one? Is that familiar to you? Very contemporary, isn't it? The fault lies with Jesus and the evidence that he's given us, they said. And in response to this, Jesus reveals two jaw-dropping realities. And those are just the points that we've got on our sheet. These jaw-dropping realities, they change the way we see the world. Number one, those who hear and do not believe do so because they are not his sheep. Look down again at verse 26. "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep." The implication here, by the way, and this is what chapter 10 has been, one of the fundamental truths that chapter 10 has been talking about, is that the world is a sheep pen filled with spiritual sheep. And the only question is, which flock are you in? See that where Jesus says, "You are not among my sheep," you are sheep following someone into eternity. That's the implication. You are sheep, but you're not mine. And that is why you do not believe me. By the way, I think this is completely the other way round to how we would phrase it, verse 26. We would write verse 26 the other way round. "The reason you're not my sheep, it is because you have not believed." He doesn't say that. "The reason you do not believe is because you're not my sheep." That is completely different. Because what he's saying is that their response is predetermined. Sheep operate on voice recognition. I tried this in a field in Wales. I was going for a walk. I knew I was going to be preaching on John 10, so I just thought, well, you know, there are some sheep. Let's see what happened. It's quite embarrassing. I'm glad there was no one there to see it. I shouted, you know, "Come here, sheep," or whatever I said. But it was just, I knew they wouldn't come, but what was interesting was there was nothing, not even the pricking of an ear. Nothing. It's embarrassing. Sheep operate on voice recognition. They follow the shepherds that they know. That's the point. We've seen this about Jesus' sheep positively in chapter 10, verse 4. He says, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But the point here in verse 26 is that that same principle also works the other way around. That those who are not his sheep simply cannot recognize the voice of the shepherd. They are deaf to it. The sound goes into their ears, the sound waves, but it makes no impact on them like those sheep in Wales. And so to all who hear his words and do not believe, both then and today, and this is the extraordinary thing, Jesus says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Extraordinary words. There will be baffling, entrenched, irrational unbelief that just seems to be deaf to the compelling words of Jesus, all of the evidence, though he is the shepherd. Jesus says that is because the world is full of spiritual sheep and there are two flocks. The only question is which flock? Their unbelief was no surprise to Jesus. He knew they wouldn't believe because they were not his sheep. Verse 26. It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus at this point is speaking not just to an individual, but actually corporately to the Jews, it would seem, as a nation. That particular generation of Jews, very general. I wonder, would he not say to the secular West today, insofar as it has heard and rejected the gospel, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. They cannot hear the voice of the shepherd. And we began with the question, how in charge of salvation is God? Answer, more than we think. Well, secondly, and this is the second reality, and I think the major point of these verses. But God is unstoppably gathering his flock and bringing them to be with him in life forever. That's the point of verses 26 to 30. Let me just read again. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one. The point again, I think, is that God is much more in charge of salvation than we think. He has ordained it from start to finish. In these verses, you have past, present, and future. His sheep are chosen in the past, gathered in the present, and brought into the future. First, chosen in the past, in eternity past. I think that is the logical necessity. Did you see those words in verse 29? Easy to miss, where he says, my Father who has given them to me. Who's the them then? Well, that's the sheep. He's given the sheep to me. In other words, the Father has given the sheep to the Son in eternity past. At some point in the past. This is a big theme in John. We may be unsure of this one, but can I just show this to you? Just flip with me to chapter 17. Just come for a second to chapter 17. I'm going to show you that this isn't just a throwaway comment. This is a big deal. Jesus praying to the Father, chapter 17, verse 6. I have manifested your name to the people who you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. Verse 9, I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. The Father has given the sheep to the Son. Just come back to chapter 10 again. I don't know if you've ever entrusted something precious to someone else. I had the experience of this the other day, handing over my car key. The only car key, we don't have a spare. I don't know if you know what that's like. If you lose it, you just, what are we going to do? I handed it over to my 8-year-old son. Don't worry, not to drive the car before you report me for terrible parenting. He was just going to get the football out of the boot or something like that. But I remember handing it to him. I felt as I handed this key over. Don't lose it. It's precious. That's a C4, Citroen C4 Picasso we're talking about there. A trite example, perhaps, maybe a more serious one. Perhaps on the other side, have you ever been given care of something that you know is precious to whoever has given it to you? And that if you lose it or damage it, well, the implications. Most obviously, a child to look after for half a day. Have you ever had that one? I have. You go into hyper alert. It's not your child. You know it's precious. If anything happened to them, sometimes you get that feeling when you're driving other people's children. You drive extra carefully. Yet you sort of think, why don't I do this with my own children? I don't know, but it's the precious cargo, someone else's. What's the point here? The point, I think, is similar. The Father has given his Son a precious charge, his sheep. The sheep that the Father has chosen and known way back in eternity. It must be that, mustn't it? He has given them to the Son, a gift from Father to Son. More precious than angels. Think of what he could have given to the Son as his precious charge, angels. More precious than realms, than lands, than universes. Son, here are my precious, precious sheep. I want you to take charge over them. There's a lot of talk in the city about, or generally, about self-worth and value. I guess in the city people are seeking self-worth and value in that sense of significance in their achievements and career path. But if you are a Christian, or if you become a Christian, look no further than this. Do you realize how precious you are to God the Father and God the Son? Well, that's why these verses are written, so that you might. God wants you to realize it. But someone says, is this really about being chosen? Well, I think it must, mustn't it? That, I take it, is why in verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep follow me and I know them. How does he know them? He knows them in advance because the Father has chosen them and given them to him. Sometimes you get asked, don't you, why are you a Christian? You might hope you get asked this in the office. Why are you a Christian? And you know, we might say, well, because I heard about Jesus and I believed. And that's true. But the answer, most fundamentally, from this, is because I have been given as a gift from Father to Son. It's extraordinary. Just to be clear, are we talking about predestination here? Yes, we are. God is more in charge of salvation than we think. In the past, his sheep, chosen, given, precious. In the present, gathered, and I think that's verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. In the present, they are being gathered. As they hear the voice of their shepherd and follow, this is an inevitable and unstoppable thing. It is voice recognition. They follow because they are his sheep. That is what is happening today across the world. As people hear the voice of Jesus through the scriptures, many remain deaf, but his sheep, every single one of them, will follow. Notice also in the present, as the sheep hear and follow, verse 28, the Son gives them eternal life. Gathered and given eternal life. They don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. he gives it to them through his death on the cross. Chosen in the past, gathered in the present through the voice of the shepherds, given eternal life, and then finally brought into the future. Verse 28. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The point is that God is unstoppably gathering and bringing his flock to be with him forever in life. No one can stop it. That is the point. I wonder if you've ever held on to a child in a dangerous situation, perhaps by the road, or I remember, you know, sometimes you're looking over a bridge or something like that and they want to kind of get up and you're just, you've got a grip on them because it's a dangerous situation and you love them. Well, I wonder if you can see this double grip. First, the Son. No one can snatch them out of my hand, the everlasting Son says. And I love this. Like a proud son, Jesus says, and if you thought my grip was strong, which it is, check out my Father's grip. Verse 29, my Father is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of his grip. He's not greater in divinity than the Son. The Son is the Son, is God, but the Father is greater in authority. The Father is the ultimate authority in existence. Now, this is not supposed to send us into theological chaos, but they are words of comfort from shepherd to sheep. We've got you in a double grip, Son and Father. Like that. And so it becomes ridiculous to think that any sheep can be snatched from his grip. And no human being can snatch the true sheep with clever, enticing words or with force. No spiritual power can snatch them. Ridiculous. The devil has no chance and his forces to snatch the sheep, God's own precious sheep, from the hands of Son and Father. Death cannot snatch them. Look at those words again in verse 28. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Literally, it says they will never perish ever, forever. It's emphatic. And so death cannot snatch the sheep from the hands of the Father and the Son, so that not even being laid in the ground, as we will be if the Lord Jesus doesn't return, if we're Christian, not even being laid down in the ground, lifeless, breathless, in a coffin, that's going to happen to us probably. At that moment, the Christian remains in the double grip of Father and Son, because not even death can snatch them. Their own sinful heart, your own sinful heart, will not be able to wrench the grip open, much as it might try to. I don't know what you're going through at the moment. If you are a Christian, whatever it is, hear these words of comfort from the shepherd of the sheep. I'm bringing you unstoppably into life. No power in the universe can stop me, says the Son and the Father. God is so much more in charge than we think. Well, as we draw to a close, how should these truths affect us? Well, firstly, I think I want to ask you and ask myself, have you grasped reality? The world is made up of spiritual sheep. Those who don't believe do so because they are not Jesus' sheep. But God is unstoppably gathering and bringing his flock with him to live with him forever in eternity. Well, how should these truths affect us? I think there are probably two implications. Firstly, confident belief in a world of unbelief. You will know, many of you, if you're Christians in your workplaces, you're one of maybe one or two, a handful. The apathy. Confident belief in a world of unbelief. there are two flocks. The world is full of spiritual sheep. If you're not a Christian, can I say that the fact that Christianity seems to have no impact on so many is no gauge of whether or not it is true. And secondly, comfort in the sovereign arms of God. These words are words of comfort from the shepherd to the sheep. Know this, Christian. You are far more precious to God than you realize. No, we don't deserve it. It is pure grace. You have been gathered and given eternal life. No, we don't deserve it. It is pure grace. And now you are being brought safely into eternity. I always remember the story of being told, this isn't the beginning of a joke, by the way, it sounds a bit like it, but there's two retired Christian ministers walking along a beach, and I think they must have been quite old. I didn't know them personally, but you know, they were sort of approaching that day when it was going to end, and they were chatting and giving thanks and looking back on life, and they both said to each other, with thankfulness, he's kept us. Isn't that interesting? It really struck with me. He's kept us. Not we've kept ourselves, but he's kept us. Now that's it, isn't it? That's what we see in these verses. If we've come to Christ, we are safe in the hands of a sovereign God who cannot be stopped. There is nothing to fear for the sheep. Who really cares about what happens in your job? Doesn't matter in the end. God says, get some perspective. Grasp reality. Look up from the desk. And as the song says, lean hard on the everlasting arms. How in charge of salvation is God? Very. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank you so much for these words of comfort from shepherd to sheep. Thank you that you have chosen us in the past, not because we deserve it, but out of pure grace. Thank you that you are gathering us through the voice of the shepherd, and that you've given us eternal life if we have put our trust in Christ. And thank you that you are bringing us irresistibly, unstoppably, to be with you forever in eternity. Thank you that you have got us in a grip, and that nothing can stop your plan. And we do pray for this city, pray for anyone here who's not yet come to Christ. We pray for people around us, Lord, would you gather your sheep? And we long that more would come to hear the voice of the shepherd. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.